It's not complicated. Call it creative. Call it art. Call it design. It's the Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
Oh, good morning, everyone. You're listening to the Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. Nancy, how are you doing this morning?
I am much better than last week. I was sick all week last week.
The world was sick.
I think so.
The world's just been sick.
Yeah, we need to get outside. Thank God the weather's kind of made it happen. But
right?
Whew.
I know.
Yeah, it was bad.
It feels like it's cooperating.
Yes, finally.
Right?
Yeah.
Finally.
And I'd love to open the windows in my house, but all the windows have been painted shut, so we got to go through and...
Oh, my gosh.
But I have something that I want to start out the show with. I know...
Yeah, before we get into our very special guest,
yes.
Let's get into your question.
I have to say that you...
Wow, where's this going?
Well, your influence on me...
Oh, God.
Well, it's twofold. It's very dangerous, first of all, because I have all of these ideas that I want to do in this blank slate of a house.
It's a problem.
Yeah. But I am...
Potential is a problem.
Yes, it can be
daunting.
It very much is. Okay. But, so I started looking at all of these design ideas,
sure.
Right? You know, Facebook groups and things like that. And I have to tell you this. They all say... This is how you make your house look like this. These are 10 tips to make your house look more expensive or extravagant.
Right.
Absolutely nothing that is out there except for the design coach talks about how to make it feel or... behave
or perform yeah.
Or and it's just like I would have never thought about that you know, this is not a facade that you're trying to create.
No.
This is not aesthetics necessarily. Your home has to work for you.
So this is you taking the red pill.
I have taken the red pill.
In the matrix of the HGTV universe.
Yes. And
realizing that the industry that they're not coaching and teaching.
No.
They're providing continual masks.
Right. Faking it. And so.
Continual masks is decorative and sometimes functional, but mostly decorative and aesthetic and cosmetic.
Yeah. And so, but you've taught me to look into the pictures of things.
Yeah.
You know, and think to myself, okay, well, I really like that color.
This is really nice of you to say. Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, it's, you know, like I really like the cabinets and I really like that. So I can see like that color kind of gives me a good feeling or whatever. But then you look deeper into the picture and you're like, okay, well, that is never going to, I have 4 grandkids.
Right.
I have people going in and out. Like that style isn't really going to work for me, but I really like. So it's just taught me to look deeper than what the picture or the caption says and think about how to put things together on a different level.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have never thought about that had I not been sitting here for all these years.
Can I ask you, that's really nice of you to say, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So when you kept seeing the same type of information in all of these various design groups pitched the same way, which is look, mask, you know, like how do you like copy, right? Like those are sort of like that's the tenor of all of them.
Yeah.
Is a mimic.
Yes.
In some way.
Yes.
Versus the identification of your unique style and how to express it. That's not their focus.
No, not at all.
Right.
And I want something
and
that.
Did you started to really feel that.
Yes. Yes. But I am going to have your help because I'm having a hard time connecting the things that I already have that I know I want to use with the things that I know obviously have to be new.
No, though, that is my favorite exercise.
Right. So
is the remember when I said to you like a couple shows ago, the, you know, the clients bring you their broken, scattered thoughts.
Right.
In some sort of really weird, you know, like that they just, it's an offering of mess. And there's gems in the mess. There's like the things that they love and, you know, the where they've made mistakes too. You know, clients will bring you their history of mistakes and their history of what they think is successful. And then they push that pile to you, right?
And
then they ask you to help
sort
it through. But it has to, you have to get to a point, if you're going to be a good design client, where you realize that you need help.
Right.
And a lot of people aren't there. A lot of people are still under this I think in Prussian, that they are schooled enough to do the expression of their design on their own. And it's interesting because the exact interactions that you're describing are actually, they don't want you to figure it out.
Right.
See, they don't want you to figure out. What they want is you to continue to buy the masks.
Right.
They want you to continue to buy the Band-Aid. They want you to continue to just purchase your way out of feeling uncomfortable in your home instead of designing something that's lasting.
Right.
That actually doesn't need to be really changed or altered all that much. And if you design it correctly, it can expand and contract with new or changing family dynamics and passions.
Right.
Period. End of story.
Right.
Right.
And I'm just, yeah. So my husband is like,
it's the Matrix.
It's the Matrix. Yeah. He said, this house was built in 1880. And so everything needs to be period. And I'm like, dude, I'm not going to.
You're like, then
over.
Shut off the lights and light a candle. Right. Okay. And we're going to read Edgar Allan Poe to one another.
Right.
Tonight.
I'm like, I'm not
instead of
cooking
streaming
over an open fire in my kitchen. Okay. Like, that's just not going to happen. So,
but if you dig at the intention behind his wanting to do that, the intention is to want to feel nostalgic and old school.
Absolutely.
To pay homage and honor the home.
Well,
that's where the spirit of that comes from.
And it's true. But when I catch him online looking at, stoves to refurbish that are from the 1800s, and he's like, we can just paint it. And I'm like, no. Well, we can refit it for gas. No, stop.
Well, I'm excited that you're taking a deeper dive into that.
Yeah, I just noticed that so much it says, make it look, make it look, make it look. And, if you do it right, it's going to look good anyway. It's got to feel and it's got to produce.
Yeah, well, anyways.
And it's got it. So thank you for making this so much harder for me.
Right? I almost was like, really?
Yeah.
I know. Well, listen, in studio with us, we're super, super
speaking
special
guests. Speaking of performance,
yeah.
Right?
Well, and speaking of, function, right?
Yeah.
We are so honored to have James Galla from EOC with us. James, welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. So James, your specialty, and listen, just to give everybody a little bit of context here, okay? So James and his firm, EOC, specialize in sort of home automation at like all levels from a total home performance. Is probably the way that I would best
describe
it.
At all levels, I would agree.
At all levels, it's total home performance. And you don't just do it on a regional basis. You're doing it on a national level.
Correct.
You've been able to, and will continue to probably work with my firm, to be able to really, I would say.
Probably.
Well, will help us, probably. Right. Well, already helping, right? Like, I mean.
This is a job interview. You just didn't know.
And I will say to you that one of the things that I was struck by when I first started working with your team was the amount of embedded coaching in the explanation of something that for many clients, and especially for even designers and design professionals and builders who I know sometimes shy away from this automation piece. There's an inherent coaching in the way that you guys approach what you do that makes it easy to understand.
Yeah.
And that can be, technology is, can be a scary thing for a lot of people. How to operate it, how to use it, right?
Sure.
How to control the controls, right?
Sure.
Well, all of that plays into what I think is a really great service provider profile for you, which is you seem to have found the right mix of people, probably emanating, I would have to guess, from the top down in the ability to coach the solution, not just sort of explain the solution, but coach it. Like, here's why we're recommending what we're recommending, why we would like to do it this way, and asking the follow-up questions, which is what I really liked, into really trying to tailor your solutions for the home. And you've been able to do that on projects both large and small.
Sure,
right?
Absolutely.
And so I want so start by telling us, just give us your firm profile. How long you've been doing this, all of that.
First.
Stuff. Okay.
I got to piggyback off something.
Okay, yes.
She said.
100%.
And maybe this is why you and I have aligned,
yes,
like so perfectly.
Okay.
Because you talked about feel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that gets so overlooked in our industry.
Oh, yeah.
So as you walk into my office, we have a saying on the wall. It says, people will forget what you did, they'll forget what you said, but they'll never forget how you made them feel.
100%. Right.
And it's like that feeling. And when you look at Philip's website, it talks about feeling and it talks about lifestyle. And it's funny you mentioned that, because as soon as you said feel, that's what we, like everyone in my company, that's what we strive for.
Right.
Yeah,
cool.
We try to make people feel really, really special.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
but it rang true when you said it.
See, you're the perfect guest for today.
No,
right?
It made sense. So my company, EOC, so originally EOC started as a security company in 1980, which was the year I was born.
Oh.
So obviously I didn't start it.
Right.
My dad started EOC in 1980 as strictly a security company. He was doing security installations in residential homes. He was one of the first kind of innovators in the monitored security market.
Wow.
And that company is still thriving and going really strong.
And where was it started?
Chicago.
Okay.
So we have a security license in Illinois and Wisconsin, so we can do security systems, you know, legally and not like guys out of the back of the truck. So that started in 1980. So realistically, I've been doing this since I was 12.
I bet.
So my father put me to work when I was 12. I was riding in vans with his coworkers, running cables, learning the industry, learning new construction, learning how to communicate with people, learning what people wanted to hear, what they didn't want to hear.
That's so great.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I had no idea that he grew up in the truck. But it's totally emblematic of some of our partners. Like another partner that we have is Jacob Addis, who's another an architect of ours. He's a former framer.
Yep.
So he's framer turned architect. So he grew up in the doing.
Right.
Those guys are always the best.
Right, and grew up in the doing of it.
Yeah.
Right, and then polished your way through the sales process and the coaching process to then be, because you never lose the understanding of. It has to, at some point, physically work. And that's what I've really appreciated about your team.
Yeah, and everyone on
our team. And it makes sense. If you were doing it since you were 12.
And most of our key guys, like our first key guys, I mean, as we grew, they were all in that van with me, right? So we've graduated.
Is that right?
Yeah. So, you know, through junior high, through high school, my parents made me go to college. they made me go to college. I rather would have stayed home and continued to work. I got out of college. And you know, went right back to work for my dad.
I was gonna say, you're like, let me back in the van,
right?
So I was there, and his company was still largely doing security installations, and that was 2003. And that is where I think if there's any Catholics listening, that was like purgatory for
oh no, it's a Sunday show. There's definitely Catholics listening.
Yeah. That's like it was purgatory for home audio and video. It's pre iPhone. It's right, volume controls. Right. It's caveman style audio video, but it was emerging.
Yeah.
And people wanted it.
Yeah, you still had
homes.
The dial on the wall.
Exactly.
To turn the volume up of the speakers.
But my dad's business was largely stagnant because security systems, from a lot of perspectives, stayed largely the same.
Yeah.
But the needs of our client base were changing. You know, the TVs were getting smaller. They wanted more speakers. They wanted more entertainment. And I found a really good opening to leave my father's company and start my own company that focused on home automation. So for a long time, from 2003, from when I started the company to probably 2010, I was like the architect who was riding around in a van framing. It was me. Mm. I was growing relationships with my clients, with my builders, with my designers, with my vendors, earning the trust and respect of people in our community, riding around in an Astro van, which I loved. I miss it. I miss the Astro.
An Astro van.
All-wheel drive. It was. Yep. Those were beautiful days. But after that, our company quickly grew. We were able to, you know, hire new employees, buy an office, buy several more offices, buy new vehicles, and really kind of invest back into our team. And
and that's where you find yourselves today.
Yeah, and I think realistically, the company was born out of our passion to take care of people, right?
Yeah.
I had just got married. My wife and I always wanted to have a big family. So, right, it's just me in an Astro van. What's the goal? I want to take care of my family, right? I want to take care of my family. And then we hired an employee. I want to take care of my employees.
Yeah.
Then we got these great builders and great partners, and I want to take care of them like nobody else. Then we got these designers, and we had more employees, and we had vendors. So everybody at my company, our mission is to take care of each other, to take care of our builders.
And it sounds like you all grew together as well.
Yeah.
Well, and here's the thing. When we come back from the break, what I want to do is, because that's a great place to springboard off of, because our philosophy of it's about people and not projects.
For
You share in that customer service mindset. So I want to explore that when we come back from the break. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Welcome back, everybody, and good morning. And by the way, you're listening right now to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Cezanne. And we have James Galla from EOC Man, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks again for having me.
I love the fact that you made time for you know us today to come on in because I really believe like you know Nancy this topic for us has gone unexplored, I think for the most part.
Yeah,
and it's also something where especially as you and I talk about the influence of technology mm-hmm. and kind of what it means to be, especially now in with AI, right? Which is we've mentioned that on a couple shows. And we did, you know, if you go back in our archives, you're going to see a show that we did about sort of a quick onboarding to everybody of AI and some of the platforms that we've been experimenting with here at the Design Coach, which honestly, it's they're becoming phenomenal tools. And it's also becoming something that I rely on daily. And what I'm finding is I've had, to be quite candid with you, James, I've had a love-hate relationship with some of the, until you and I connected, the audiovisual teams that I've worked with, I have found two things, and I think what I'd like to do in this segment is have you articulate maybe how that's different with you, because my experience has been the systems have been sometimes overcomplicated,
yeah,
overpriced, they underdeliver from a usability perspective, and as the technology in the client's palm of their hand has become easier to use, their home systems, at least the ones even 10 years ago or 15 years ago, were clunky, expensive, hardwired, and very difficult to sell to clients as something they felt that they needed in anything other than maybe a home theater setup. And that's not really what we're talking about when it comes to your approach to what you guys have going on at EOC. It is a entire home function and feel.
Well, that was my question.
Total home function and feel.
Right.
Which is a really exciting thing to talk about, provided that it works.
Right, right.
And in their capable hands, it does. But I know for a lot of people, they've experienced a lot of frustration. I have a lot of former clients and current clients that have had frustration with their audiovisual teams in whether it's system setup or system support and system upkeep.
No, mm-hmm. And I think what you had mentioned, I'll pay you for the list of those clients. I'll make them all happy. And that's like heartbreaking for me to hear, quite frankly, yeah. Right? Because I'm an advocate for EOC.
Well, because you know that there's guys who, you know, they work yeah. for a company like yours for a couple yeah. of years, then they spin off, they put a magnet on their van, and then the next thing you know, right, you got...
Yeah.
You know
we,
what I mean?
We take really great care of our guys. No one's leaving EOC.
But that's what I'm saying. There's a lot of people, especially as it relates to people who think that they can just do it.
No, and when you say there is some heartbreak, right? People have had terrible experiences with yeah. with a system that didn't work, that was oversold, and they underdelivered. And from a guy who just, I advocate for EOC, but I advocate for our industry.
Yeah.
Because that guy's going to build, or that client's going to build the next house, and I want them to have a good taste in their mouth about what technology
yeah,
looks
tell
like
me, tell me about your approach from the onset that makes it
onset.
Different.
So we're very consultative. You know, we're fortunate enough. We have about 60 employees. So, which separates us from a lot of our competitors.
Right.
A lot of our competitors are 2, 3, 4, 5 guys. They're working out of a truck or they're working out of a garage. We have an unbelievable showroom in the Chicago suburbs that we're adding another 3,000 square feet to. So, being able to meet a client on site to show them how some of this technology works. But we're since we have so many. Technicians who are all qualified across all the various systems, whether it's Savant, Elan, Sonos, Crestron, Control 4, we're going to educate our clients on what's available.
Okay, here's why this is very important. I just want to sort of sneak this in. So many of these individual companies
yep.
only have one proprietary Correct. Platform that they service, okay? So it you almost become beholden to the person that actually did your installation because you then would have to go find another support player
yeah.
who can support that particular platform like the ones that you mentioned. What I like is you have experience with all of them,
mm-hmm.
and well, you're trying to play matchmaker.
Yeah, does that sound right?
So I want to sit down with the client, and I don't want to give – so just like in your designs,
mm-hmm.
right, there's not a one-size-fits-all to – what you do.
I was going to say, that's just like the builders that you talk about. You know, like they get comfortable in their style and that's what they,
yeah.
you know, and
well,
that's what some of them do.
It's our industry in general. It's whether
right.
it's a designer, an architect, or a builder.
Cookie cutters.
They will get comfortable within what they do. And then they make the assumption that you're hiring them to do them
right.
versus help you do you.
Right.
What I love about your approach is you help clients do them.
Yeah, and we want
That's
to educate
so cool.
them. We want to educate them, and we want to let them know what's available. And a lot of times our conversations will start, quite frankly, with a client with, everyone's heard of a control system, right? Everyone knows what this one platform looks like where you can control everything in your house. You know, you've heard of CrushRun, you've heard of Lawn Control Force, you've heard of all these things, and maybe they've had them before and they don't like them. Maybe their friends had them before and they don't like them. So we'll say, you know, hey, we can do any one of these systems, or we could have a house where you have standalone apps, right? We could do simple Sonos, we could do MyQ for your garage, we could do Ring for your front doorbell. We want to make you comfortable. We want to educate you with all of the options, right? We want you to be a partner in these decisions because you're going to live with it.
It's probably the most tailored approach that I've seen that mirrors what we do at The Coach.
Yeah, yeah. And I think
we do, Nancy, you've heard me talk on this airways for years now about we're really trying to figure out what your style is and help you articulate that, not having to push you towards any one
right.
product.
And we're trying to build, you know, our goal. We're trying to build a lifelong relationship with our clients. You know, I love football. I'm a sports guy, and I don't know how much time we have, so I'll try to. If I'm talking
fast, we got plenty of time.
So, I look at this like, you know, they always talk about in football. There's three phases. You know, there's offense, defense, special teams, and then the fourth phase, which is the intangibles, the small things. And those small things are why, you know, good teams win games.
Right.
And those intangibles for us are what take our company from good to great.
Right.
And those are intangibles are that we take the time to consult with our client. We educate our client. We develop relationships with our clients.
You
we never turn our back
to
our clients. We respond
right.
to our clients. I mean, Philip could tell you, when I first met with him on a client in Lake Geneva, I was taking calls from that client on a Sunday morning at 8 a.m. I was picking up. And at the time, he wasn't even my client. I was at my kids' ball games taking calls from him because that's who we are. As a company, we're trying to make them feel good. That for us, right, we have three phases: rough, trim, final.
Right.
And we are a unique company because we have our fourth phase. And that's what takes our company from good to great. That we are always in touch with our clients. We have an unbelievable service department, and we take care of them post-install. And I think where a lot of our clients, or a lot of our competition, I should say, falls short, is they genuinely think the job is done when the last screw is turned and the check's cleared the bank,
right.
they're done. For us, that's when the job starts.
Yeah, but even, and I can attest to this, to push it even further down, if you can't get me the answer, like a great business owner,
yeah.
you make sure somebody can.
For sure.
You, like, even if you weren't able to get back to me,
yeah.
you would have a guy like
yeah,
Andy
no doubt.
Call me,
no doubt.
And I would get it, right? Like, you,
yeah.
you would find somebody to get me the answer, even if you weren't available.
Top secret. I'm 44. I'm one of the oldest guys at EOC and one of the dumbest. Everyone who works for me is younger and smarter than me.
Mm-hmm.
They're experts with golf simulators, lighting, shade control, IT, and
yeah,
they
you got to hire people better than
yeah,
you.
Exactly,
right.
yeah. And they can solve all of those problems.
You know, I mean, that makes complete sense, but the work starting after you're done installing is exactly the right is exactly correct because you all know how to work the stuff. We don't.
Yeah, but here's the... I'm going to take this synthesis and this synergy to a different level, and I'm going to talk about business rhythm. One of the most difficult things for people to understand in my industry is that the home gets tested at times, especially second homes,
mm-hmm.
on the weekends.
Oh, yeah.
So when we do a lot of vacation in second homes, our game time, as you related to a sports analogy, our game time is Friday night to Sunday morning.
Right.
Like, that's game on. And the rest of the world works, well, it's my weekend. So I may or may not be available.
Right.
That doesn't work
no.
in high-end service provide, luxury lifestyle living, and providing a service to that level of clientele. Because when they make a phone call, they want a response. And those responses, and you know this, they come after hours. My TV, you know, sometimes you're not getting the phone call that my TV doesn't work at 1 p.m., right?
On a Tuesday.
You're getting the fact that the internet goes down in the middle of a party mm-hmm. on the weekend.
Yep.
Yep.
And that if you don't provide the infrastructure to be able to service a client when they're in technological distress, right? That's a frustration point. It's not just that they're frustrated with the technology. They're also frustrated with they can't get assistance.
Yep.
Now, you seem to have solved that problem.
Easily.
Yeah.
Like, well, this is, and also, people want to talk to a person.
Oh,
well, no.
They don't want to go through a phone tree.
Easily, but painfully.
Yeah.
You know, because we do take those calls at midnight and at 1 in the morning, at 8, you know, those, and at 8 in the morning.
And so do we at the design coach.
And that's
why I think our philosophies align, because we're used to the fact that, like, there's always one eye on the Okay, is the is the spa set to the right temperature?
When Phil's, right? Like, when
is there enough eggs in the fridge?
When Philip's working, that's our rule for my sales guys and my project managers. When Philip's working, we're working.
Right.
If that means it's 2 a.m, then it's 2 a.m. When my clients are working, that's when we're working, right? Same concept.
Yeah.
When do our clients, they get home from work at 6 o'clock.
Right.
And the TV doesn't turn on.
Yep.
They're calling us at 6 o'clock.
And your people need to be okay with that. And
yep.
That, I think that's the hardest thing to find, is that you got to find people who understand that that when you're in a lifestyle business like we are,
yeah.
I'm sorry, because I think technology is lifestyle. It is.
100%.
And so, oh, for sure.
So whether it's my end of it or your end of it, I think we're integrated there and we're connected there. You have to realize, honestly, it's a 24-hour luxury
24/7, 365.
Like, you know, functional lifestyle cycle.
My wife, I mean, she didn't almost leave me, but it was close. When I did a service call on Christmas Day last year.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like this great client of mine got their kid an Xbox, couldn't figure out how to use it. It was close, and they were a great client. And my wife's like, "Where are you going?" I'm gonna go take care of the Smiths. You know,
yeah.
You out of your mind? I said,
"No,
they're a lifelong client."
Yeah.
I love, and sadly, it's infected everyone at my company. We love making people happy.
Yes,
and that's the thing that they'll
no when you when they
they'll
know
never
that you,
forget
and the right clients will go above and beyond to become what I call is more like an advocate.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a couple clients. You and I have a couple clients that are like that, especially one who's just an advocate for us wanting to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And the only expectation is just continue to service me the way you're doing it.
Right.
Right?
Like,
it's not extra. He doesn't expect more. You just do the job, do it well.
Right.
Right? Be responsive and be pro.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a lot of this, like this, that's why this whole work-life balance thing is just a joke, because
there's no, it doesn't
like
exist.
Right now, like I have to tell these especially younger professionals, that doesn't exist if you love what you do. And if you're addicted to making people happy, you don't decide to shut that off at 5 o'clock.
I got to give you some good advice from a business coach. So who told me work-life balance doesn't exist. He preached to me about an integrated life.
Yes.
So the time that you have with your family is special time, and maybe it's an hour, but it's just that. Right. But there is no work-life balance in what we do at 24/7, 365. And we're taking care of 20,000 clients and 100 builders and all of our decorators. There is no work-life balance.
No.
We have to be perfect with how we respond.
Yes.
We can make great big mistakes in a house that we can fix. But responding and getting back, the low-hanging fruit, we have to be perfect with that.
And in fact, in so many ways, the way you handle the responses with your timeliness of it and your honesty of it, when mistakes eventually do happen, because they do.
100%.
You know, like, mistakes happen.
Well, and
clients
it's technology.
Are a lot more understanding,
right?
Because they're like, you know what, that happens.
Yeah.
It's when you hide, right? Remember, we have to go to a break here, but one of the big things is look at the negative space. Sometimes the most important thing that you can look at is what people don't say and the way they're not responding, okay? And we'll talk about that and this high-end service provider model from James Gallup from AOC. Thanks. We're going to go into segment 3 and 4 on this. You're going to hang with us.
Sounds good. Stay with us.
You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. I don't even know where to start, because we just covered a million things off at the break. Anyway, welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. We're talking whole home automation with owner of EOC Audio and Visual James Gallup. James, thanks for joining us again on this.
James just took us to a next level cool.
It did. Yeah. Smart film.
Smart film.
Snap your fingers and
the glass
goes opaque.
If I can snap my fingers and get anything to do anything, I want it.
Yeah, but that's like the ultimate talk to the hand. Like if you had like somebody who was like just jabbering at you like through a glass, then you were just like snap it and you went opaque. It's like done.
Bye bye.
It's really cool technology.
James needs to talk
Well, listen,
more
I want
about
you to
that.
Walk us through. We've talked a little bit. We've talked a lot about service and business philosophy. You know,
sure.
For the first two segments, I want to get into the nuts and bolts of your offerings, the things that you provide. Across the board, you know, what are the types of things that you guys are getting involved in?
Sure.
And when we talk about home automation, break that down for us.
Wow. So I had a friend once describe to me that home technology was like hugging the wind, that it was there 1 minute and gone the next, which is largely true. So home automation for us starts typically with a very robust pre-wire in a home. So we're making sure we're covering everything the client wants today or what they might want in the future, making something that's scalable. which is very important. I think from there, our business
is that is that a big miss? Do people pile on bad system on system on system on system on bad framework?
I think that a lot of times people have this misconception that everything's wireless and we don't need as much wire. And I think everyone's experienced, you know, some imperfection in wireless connectivity.
Sure.
If I can wire a product, I can guarantee you a result. If it's wireless, I can guarantee you a certain result, but not a perfect result. I would call that a wired system is a much more predictable outcome, is what I would tell a client.
Okay, so especially in things like security, like front gates.
100%.
And like where you really need the reliability of access.
It must be wired.
Right. Even camera.
Camera
right?
must be wired.
Right. Like,
yep.
So there are still certain tried and true pieces of that automation
sure.
where you're like, no, that is 100%. It might be easier
yeah.
to do it this way, but it really should be hardwired.
So one of the things, so beyond that, a robust pre-wire, essentials in a home, camera systems, every one of our homes has a wired security camera system that records internally, viewable from anywhere in the world on their phones or iPads. That's a given. All of our systems have very robust wireless networks. Those are needs. Like there's some things that have transitions from nice to have to need to have. Every home we work in has to have a robust network and has to have a security system, has to have cameras. From there, you can start talking about lifestyle products. What type of entertainment stuff are they going to put into the house? Do they love watching TVs? Do they want the best TVs? What do they want the sound to be like around the pool? Lighting control is an incredibly emerging technology, and we do a lot of lighting control. Motorized shades is a huge emerging technology and works in conjunction with lighting control. And I think when you are talking about lighting control and motorized shades, you start talking about energy efficiency and occupancy sensors and how we can make a house more efficient and start working for the client versus the client working for the home.
See, that I've said this on any number of shows. Is your home designed and built to serve you?
Right.
Or do you spend a lot of time serving the home?
Right.
Because it even gets to things like maintenance. I'll give you an example. One of the things now that high-end insurers are requiring is a system that detects water leaks.
The mm-hmm. leak defense system.
And the leak yeah. defense system now is the ability for them to avoid catastrophic losses and
right.
for clients to have to avoid those as well. By putting in systems where if there's one drop of water that hits this sensor, the entire water shuts down, notifies you on your phone, and you can save, in some cases, millions of dollars of damage because you just put in that one
yeah,
system.
Yeah, millions of dollars in damage, and at a minimum, probably tens of thousands of dollars of cost with your provider.
So let's talk about the definition of feel. It's not just the aesthetic that the automation can create, it's the peace of mind, knowing that your investment is secure. That's a very important piece that I think a lot of people don't necessarily ascribe to automation
yeah.
is protection.
Peace of mind.
Is protection. And so you mentioned security, but I think it's a lot of those people don't take it to the next level, which is, you know what, for the X amount of, let's say, $3,000 or $4,000 that it's going to cost me to put in a water defense system, think about what it can save you on the back end.
Heartache.
A lot of heartache.
Money.
I have had several clients where yeah. it has saved them.
Yeah.
Well, and from a mom perspective, you have massive water damage, and I'm sorry, but displacing your family in order to get the work done and having to deal with everything you have to deal with, plus you can't live in your house for a little while, and it doesn't matter what anybody says, insurance never, ever, ever covers everything that it needs to. You will be nickeled and dimed because yeah. it just is how it works. And so, this is... Again, peace of mind for your family, to protect your family.
Yeah,
and
which is, again, an extension general, of another definition of how do you feel.
Feel, secure. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
So keep going. So not to interrupt,
yeah, no,
that was kind of a
that's
big
right.
one.
No, so I think we talked about lighting control, which is huge. We talked about, I think you can even start talking about health and wellness and how automation and technology can increase your health and wellness in a house. Lutron makes an incredible product called Ketra. I'm sure you've heard of Ketra.
Okay.
Essentially, it's a light fixture that mimics sunrise to sunset, which is incredible, right? So think about when you wake up in the morning, we weren't meant to be indoors. We're animals. We were meant to wake up to sunrise. But when you wake up in your house, you wake up to bright white light in your bathroom or in your bedroom. So realistically, what Lutron Ketra does, it mirrors sunrise to sunset throughout the course of the day. So when you wake up at 6 o'clock to get ready, you're waking up to warm glow. You're waking up to sunrise.
Wow.
So this technology then adapts for your location, time of day. So throughout the course of the day, this light is evolving. So the light in your house between noon and 2 is like sun, full sun. And then when you get home from work at 5 o'clock and you flip your kitchen lights on, you're not getting that bright white light that's burning your retinas. You're getting warm dim.
Right.
You're getting sunset. So you're getting this light that helps you, helps your mood, you know, limits depression, helps you sleep at night, because you're not going to bed to bright white light. You're going to bed to sunset. Right? That's natural light.
And
it's real
all
light.
All energy efficient.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, in most cases, more low voltage.
Yeah. Right? And I think there's that health and wellness factor, too. And you can tie that into motorized shades where I want my clients getting as much natural light as they possibly can. If anyone listens, look, the Lutron Ketra stuff is phenomenal. It should be in everybody's house because the studies that show people who are getting that natural, non-artificial life are healthier, happier, they sleep better. That's incredible.
But it also goes from an investment perspective. You know, one of the things that I'm loving about the motorized shades throughout the house is you're getting the ability where, you know, at different times during the year, from an energy efficient perspective, regardless of the technology in the windows, you're going to get heat transfer and you're still going to get UV damage.
Yep.
So the UV damage that exists when my clients leave their lake home, for instance, and they hit one button and all the shades go down, it saves their investment in their furniture, saves the investment in what they've put inside the house because of the inevitable UV damage, regardless of the protection that the window manufacturer says that they're giving you.
Yeah. Right? And that's another great thing from an energy efficiency perspective, right? You can program those shades to creep up and down with sunrise and sunset throughout the course of the day.
Mm-hmm. I can't imagine like in the summertime, right? You're trying to keep the sun out while you're gone at work and keep the place cool for when you get home.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just all, and it's just all cool easily thing, right? managed.
And then you have this awesome scene that when you open the mudroom door and you, with the press of a button or some voice command, you can have your shades come up. You can have Ketra turn lights on to warm dim. You can have music start playing in your kitchen. And this is where we talk about where automation's really cool. We can have all these different subsystems working together as opposed to working against each other.
So but if the framework's flawed, it won't work.
Right.
Yeah. No, if the framework's flawed, if the installation's flawed, and I think a lot of the frustrations people have had with home automation, why sometimes some people have a bad taste in their mouth, and it doesn't always have the best reputation. It's very rarely the products, right? It's usually the people putting it in. And my biggest complaints when we take over jobs, and we take over a ton of jobs, we probably take over 10 to 15 jobs a month. And it's usually because the other company, the complaints are, they didn't call me back. They didn't come back to fix it. They abandoned me. The client felt abandoned and they didn't feel loved after the installation. That's the biggest complaint. I will tell you, if I could get as much as I can in here, golf simulators are a huge part and a growing part of our business.
Really?
Massive. And we are one of the only companies that I'm aware of in the Midwest that we fully design, install, and service all of the products ourselves. So we'll ask a builder or designer to give us a room to a specific size, say 18 by 24. We do all the flooring. We do all the wall paddings. We do all the electronics, all the technology, transfer all the information to the client. And that's becoming a huge part of our business. Those golf sims and those multi-sport rooms where the families are spending a lot more time entertaining. That is one thing that COVID really still change, and we still feel that impact. People still want to spend more time in their home than they did in the past. That's more people are putting in home theaters, more people are putting in golf simulators, more people are spending more time on their back patio.
More people are putting in back patio, but bars.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bars associated entertainment spaces with golf simulators.
Yeah.
Like they're creating almost like a Top Golf in their home.
And that's what they want.
Yep.
And they want to feel that comfort in their own house with their family and their friends on their time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're busy professionals, and they need it to work. So that has to be designed thoughtfully, installed thoughtfully, and the information has to be transferred to the client in the correct way.
People that are doing it, you know, like I keep calling it cookie cutter style, those are just installers. That's it.
But if your understanding of it at this juncture is your Nest thermostat and a Ring door camera, that's not home automation.
No.
That's not what we're referring to.
No.
Okay. What we're referring to at James's level And at the level that we're recommending for our clients is a holistic system, balanced and right-sized for the specific lifestyle objectives for the client, and a system that is designed around them, not something that from a behavior or a user perspective has to be trained for them to learn the home.
Exactly.
These user interfaces are so much better than they used to be, and the programming of it and the taking the time, that's where I think that's another interesting thing is, you know, taking the time to walk your client and onboard them into these systems, it doesn't take much time because I think so many clients, like I was afraid to switch from Android to iPhone. You know, I did that yes. about a year ago. And it's been one of the, I mean, the Android could do more things technically, but the iPhone's user interface was super easy for me to make the transition. I think if you're afraid of the transition that it, or what it might take, you don't have to be a techie to learn how to use these new systems.
No, the interfaces are really, like the iPhone analogy you just said is perfect, mm-hmm. right? An iPhone today is infinitely more complex than what a massive computer was 5 years ago.
Sure.
I could hand anybody in this room an iPhone with no instruction, and they could be an expert with this iPhone in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And they can't break
the
it.
The user interfaces are very similar.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of these systems now, they know what works, and a lot of them have copied that concept. I love when one of my technicians or programmers meets a client who's had a bad taste in their mouth with an old automation system,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to give them a demo. And the client always comes out with a piece of paper, and they're getting ready to take notes. And then at the end of the demo, the only thing on the page is the date.
Right. I love that.
Because
that's so great.
Because they're so intuitive now. It's like you press this button.
They really are.
You can't break it.
Yeah, like it's really hard to screw it up.
Yeah, and it's almost impossible to screw it up because mm-hmm. you can always get back to the beginning and
right.
start over.
Back to home.
Exactly.
Yep.
And so I think like that is another thing. Like when the iPhone came out in 2007, it changed our business. It changed how these companies that make these interfaces, it changed how they think.
They had to level up. They certainly had to level up.
Yeah.
When we come back from the break, I want to talk about innovation and the new trends that you're seeing. And where EOC falls in, you know, I would say thumbs up, thumbs down on some of these things that are currently maybe too early, right, to maybe pull the trigger on or to integrate into your system. Like what you might recommend, James, you might give it more time. Never buy the first generation of anything, right. Whether it's a car or a phone or whatever it is. And then also, like, what are the must-haves? I'd love to get that perspective. From James Gallo, EOC Audio and Automation. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Welcome back, everybody. You know what? We could talk about a million things, Nancy. I mean, there's a million things we've talked about already on the home automation side that I think we probably do a whole show on all of them.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to need James to leave me a list of things that he could automate in my house.
No, that 1884 stove.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we're not putting an 1880
stove. Can I automate a 14-year-old? Can I do that?
Right.
I'm sure there's a lot of those questions.
You can. Just give them a phone. Yeah.
Anyway, we're talking with James Galler from EOC, and we're talking home automation and smart houses. Like, listen, before we get into the innovative piece about what's trendy and what's coming, I want to talk a little bit about the utility of it. In other words, you know, what does it look like now for clients who maybe have an existing system? Because, you know, everything is easy if you're building it new. When you're building it and designing it from the beginning, and that's not a lot of people. A lot of people, you said you take over a lot of projects, about 10 to 15 a month,
mm-hmm.
who have an existing infrastructure where you have to do some sort of diagnostic like you did for us to figure out, you know, how was it currently configured and where are the deficiencies? Where do we need to make it more robust? But then more importantly, you know, how are your proposals structured so that they're easy to understand? And if somebody wants to onboard with you, walk us through a little bit of your sales process.
Sales process if we're taking the job over.
Yes.
So taking jobs over can be complicated, right? Because you're taking over years of heartache, right? Someone's had.
Yeah, they come with baggage.
They come with baggage. I always say like I don't know. I'm going to use this analogy.
Okay.
But I use it at work.
Okay.
But so you're taking over jobs. It's tough. You're the first guy trying to date a woman who just got divorced and she hates all men.
Right.
Right? So, and it's like, so here we are.
Okay.
I'm walking into this house. She's had this terrible relationship with this AV guy for the last 10 years. She hates the whole industry. Everybody in the AV industry is awful. They're the worst people in the world. So my first approach with those people and my sales team's approach is building trust back up in the industry.
Do you bring her flowers?
Well, we have in the past. I don't bring flowers. We could. Some of my sales guys are singles. I'd probably get in trouble if I did that. No, but I think that like when we're taking those jobs over, the first most critical component of that is rebuilding trust and trying to explain to these people that it probably wasn't the parts and pieces. It was probably more the person who put it in.
Right.
Right. And I think from there, it's really trying to figure out. The nice thing about them having had systems in the past, they know what they like. And they know what they don't like.
Right.
And we love listening to the clients. Like, we're never going to force technology down somebody's throat that they don't want, that they don't see value in. If you don't see value in this, let's stay away
from that. Okay, that's a really interesting point because they come to the altar of design the same way, which is
right.
They don't often know what they want, but they know what they don't want.
Yeah,
I was just going
to
say that.
Allowing the client to really express their frustration about how the industry or this particular service provider, previous service provider, may have wronged them is a really important first step so that you can understand the baseline of, okay, how you can really then fix not just the hardware deficiencies, if there are any, but also the emotional connection that people have to service providers who both do and don't come through.
And make them excited again about the product instead of dreading having to spend more money on it.
And that's why when you said, hey, I have, you know, I've had some clients in the past who aren't happy, I was like, hey, give me their names. I want to go there. I'll fix their stuff for free. I just want them to love our industry. I want them to get excited about what we do because when it's done right, it's really cool. So I think someone, you meet a client like that, you assess, here's what when the system was working, here's what I really liked about it, here's what I didn't like about it. And I do think in our industry, there are some things that have become pretty standard.
Like
I think some standards, like when you started in 2003, a client would ask you, well, what do I need? And the reality was nothing. You know, this is fun stuff. You know, we don't need any of it. I think nowadays people need security systems. Mm-hmm. They want to feel safe in their own homes. They want to be able to remotely view their house. They need camera systems. I can't, if we do 1,500 homes a year, they all have camera systems. So they need security, they need cameras, they need good infrastructure, and they need great Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
I use my Ring doorbell to watch my dogs during the day. It's on the inside of my house.
It's perfect. That's perfect, right? And I love the fact that Ring and Nest, that all these companies spend billions of dollars of advertising their, no offense, inferior products that I can come in and install a professional product because people know this technology now exists. I think those are kind of some of the foundational products that we would want to make sure every one of our clients has, right? From there, we can layer on what I would call the fun stuff, the lifestyle stuff, you know, great speakers around the pools, big TVs, home theaters, golf simulators. Those are kind of the fun things, the motorized shades, lighting control, you know, developing a system where your house is really working for you with the press of a button. I can have the TVs all turn on, the shades all raise or lower, the lights go to a specific scene with the simple push of a button that says party.
Yeah, you've got one of the best setups in one of our clients' homes where it's just welcome and then away. And my team loves it because away, all the shades drop. All the lights go down.
Off. Like TVs turn
you're
off.
You're not running around to try to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
You're hitting your alarm or you're hitting away. You know that everything's working and you hit away and you're out.
Yeah.
And that's actually like that's huge. And then when you open up a house and it's dark to be able to walk in and sometimes to be able to do that like with, you know, you're in the car and you're like, okay, hey, you know, de-arm the house and lift up all the shades. That happens before you drive into the garage.
And that's one of the cool kind of emerging technologies too. Like geofencing is, you know, the system knowing your proximity to the house with your
phone. Talk to me about that.
Geofencing essentially is, you know, these smart automation systems knowing where you are in the home. So if you had an iPhone in your pocket, for example, and you walked into the kitchen, the system would know where you are in the house. There's a map of the house in the system and they know your profile, right? So when Bill Smith walks into the kitchen and his iPhone's in his pocket, it knows that he likes this music. He likes the lights to be at this level, and it happens automatically. Maybe your car is approaching the house, and it knows to open the gate, raise the garage door.
Welcome to the home of the future.
And light a pathway. So, but these are things like, you know, we used to say to people, right? We used to say, you could do this with the press of a button. Right?
You don't even need that.
Now you don't even need that. Like all of this stuff can be scheduled. It can be automated. There is no press of a button. Because even our clients who have these homes and these incredible automation systems, like they say, they didn't want to touch anything. They just want to know, like, hey, my wife gets up every morning at 7 o'clock. It's a routine, right? So let's turn the bathroom lights on at 30% at 6:50 every morning.
Let's heat the floors
mm-hmm. at 6:50 every morning. We have a mirror TV there. Let's turn it to WGN at 6:55 every morning. So it's like all of these things that, like, your wife doesn't have to touch a button, so we know her habits. And then from this is a client of mine. This is a client
okay,
of mine.
Yeah,
so this is actually
she's got her hand up. Like,
this is probably a client of mine that needs you in Traverse City. We'll start a branch. Yeah. We'll start a branch there together.
We're gonna do that. Yeah, I agree.
So then, and he's like, then she goes into the family room. She turns this channel on. She makes coffee. It's like, great. So I know this woman's pattern in the house. So now she's in here. This TV in the family room turns on at 7:30 to this channel. These lights are on to this. So everything that she's afraid to do, to pick up this touch panel or pick up this iPad and touch a button, she has to do none of it because we've automated all of it. There's no. It's all scheduled.
And
so
is,
it's pretty cool.
And is AI only going to just accelerate that understanding?
Yeah, and I think that's where AI comes in.
Okay.
Where it's pattern learning you in the house. Where you are, where you spend time,
and
what rooms you go into.
These systems will be equipped to do that.
100%.
Yeah.
Across the board, they'll do it. And right now, there are companies who are, right now, these companies are dipping their toes in that water, right now. But in the future, they will be so much, I know. I'm breaking the rules. I talk with my hands a lot.
I just have to say that I got this, I'm trying not to interrupt because I got this picture in my head of coming home and there's a button on your console or whatever. What do you call it?
An iPad, an interface, a touch panel, whatever. Yes, a cell
phone. And it's like date night and the lights dim and Barry
sure.
White comes on.
Like, Barry White, no doubt Barry White.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, so sorry. I really wanted to ask if that was available.
It is.
My husband will be interested.
Barry White? I let you know. It's before my time. I mean, I Rufus Dussault is a great. He can get you. He can get you in the mood too.
AI really will play a role in expediting the user interface and the understanding of the client, which I think is really cool.
That's
really cool.
I think it's more that pattern learning, right?
Pattern learning.
Yeah, where
sure.
it knows how you live in your home and it starts working for you even more. Mm-hmm. Where you spend time, what room you spend time in, what times of day you're in these rooms.
So, but take it to the next level. One of the things that I have is, you know, when you let your dog out and you have an invisible fence,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, outdoor lighting, but even though you have invisible fence, you still want to know where the dog
sure.
is.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to get down to controlling the exterior camera lighting, that if your dog moves to a certain location and that you could program it to do things like that, like watch activity outside. I mean, that's big. Because it can be wildlife related, right? Like,
yeah.
I think, though, that when you talk about the advances, and you mentioned and during another segment that there's a generation that has issues with hardware in general or having the hardware, and they would rather use the phone and those kind of interfaces. I don't see how you can avoid that at this point because the innovation is changing so rapidly.
Yeah.
Like, it's so much easier. If you have something on the wall that's more like an iPad or everything's on your phone or something, that can be easily updated. But actual hardware, it seems like it would be harder to make advances and improve on it without a major change.
No, and I agree with you. And I think, like, and let's just say that client's between the ages of 30 and 40.
Absolutely.
Right? And I think their apprehension is really born out of they grew up in a house that their parents had these systems in
right.
that weren't great. So when
but
I
But they were great at the time.
Nah,
they were okay.
You still had to go turn up the volume by walking over the control panel.
Well,
true. Those clients who come to me,
and the control between volume one and two is just not right.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was like on two it's too loud, and on one it was too soft. Like,
and I think
you had a lot of that stuff.
You have to explain to those clients how much different the technology is, but they grew up with those bad experiences, and I don't think they really know what they want. I think to your point, right? It's my parents had this. They didn't like it. It caused them more aggravation than what it was worth.
Yeah.
So I want a system that's kind of free of this hardware. I want a simple Sonos system, a Ring doorbell, a little Google Pod.
Well, they have a general fear of commitment anyway. And
right.
I see that.
Just maybe that age.
I see that on
group.
The design side anyway. It's like everything neutral.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay.
Let's
fight our color profile at some point.
And I'll tell you, like, from my perspective, the automations we install, Savant, Elan, Control 4, Crestron, when done right, thoughtfully, they're bulletproof. We put them in. We have very little issues. And when there are problems, we take care of them right away. Our clients love them, very reliable. And we try to get that 30, 40-year-old to kind of understand that we can do that for them. But again, it's all about rebuilding that trust in our industry.
So if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, because we only have a minute left here, and I can't thank you enough for joining us on today's show.
This has been way more fun than I had thought, by the way. I thought I would be nervous, but honestly, working with you
thank
two
you.
Are fantastic.
Uh-huh.
It's fantastic.
Awesome.
Fantastic.
Tell everybody how they get in touch with you.
Sure. Website is www.eocaudio.com. We have a fantastic website. We have an unbelievable showroom in Lisle, Illinois, suburb just right outside of Chicago. We're doing another 3,000 square feet. Our office number is 630-386-6266. But again, you can reach us. Probably the best way is through our website, which is just eocaudio.com.
Oh my gosh. James, thank you so much for joining us on
yeah,
this
my
Sunday
pleasure.
Morning.
This is
I can't
fantastic.
Tell you, like, we're going to have you back because we're going to talk about specific use cases,
yeah.
which is, I really want to drive at home theaters with you.
Oh,
I
yeah.
want to also drive on exterior environments, which we didn't really get the chance to talk about
yeah.
outdoor grills, outdoor pool settings,
awesome.
All of that kind
which
of stuff.
Which is coming back. Crazy.
Yeah, especially come spring. So
yeah.
anyway, thank you everybody for joining us. You've been listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Have a great Sunday, everybody. You've been coached.